微软。Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is a prophecy of Isaiah. Years and centuries before Jesus was even born, his words are spoken. Through the prophet, Jesus speaks and reveals the inner thoughts of what was going through his head when those events of Good Friday had taken place. All the while, his confidence remains perfect, his determination steadfast. And so we turn to his words in Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from the shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? This is the word of the Lord. We pray. Jesus, I will ponder now on thy holy passion. With thy spirit, me endow for such meditation. Amen. A child's Sunday school craft tells the story. It pictures Jesus hanging from the cross. A Roman centurion is looking on. And beneath the picture, the child has written in blue crayon the caption, "Jesus took away your sins. That's why." The court is in session, and a man is on trial, and we want a judge who will be fair, who will take into consideration all the evidence, who will render the just verdict. The evidence has been shown, and this man is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Stealing, murder, lying, adultery, and even high treason against his own country. This man is a traitor. Now I ask you, raise your hand if you'd be willing to take this man's place. For the most part, we really are not willing to take the place of someone who is truly guilty. We want justice. We want the consequences to be carried out, vindication. And so his face is set like flint, with the determination of a rock. He is bound to go forth. He knows this is your trial, and he knows this is your sentence, and the Son of God is determined to stand trial for you. A child's Sunday school craft tells the story. The fulfillment of the first commandment is really summed up in one word, trust. It is nothing more than trust that obeys God's commandments. Scripture sometimes expresses this idea as faithfulness, that is, an obedience that's filled with faith, trusting in God's will and his promises and determined to do what God has asked despite all the circumstances. And we want a judge who will weigh the evidence. Will he find faithfulness? Will he find a life filled with determination to do what God has asked? The accuser is there in the courtroom, and he will not fail to bring before the judge every time you and I have doubted God's goodness. Every time we've chosen the easy way instead of the difficult way. Every time we've failed to trust in God's good purpose. And the law judges, not just our actions, but our hearts. And it shows a traitor, convicted of betraying his own country, his own God, unfaithfulness. But a picture shows the caption written in blue crayon. Jesus took away our sins. That's why. And so our Lord speaks. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know I will not be ashamed. With a face like a rock, Jesus is determined to ride into Jerusalem, knowing full well what awaits him, right into the hands of Judas, right into the hands of the high priest, right into the hands of the Romans, and right into the hands of the devil. He's determined with perfect trust for what God is accomplishing in the end. He is faithful for those who are unfaithful. The court is in session, and a man is on trial. Will he accept the accusations, the false witnesses? Surely the evidence is not fairly brought forth. I want to speak up. I want to be justified. I want to stand up for myself and say, wait a minute, this isn't fair. And so I start blurting out things like everyone does it. I say things like, what about her? She was rude to me first. I deserve to do what I did to her. I begin thinking things like, I was just a child, I didn't know any better, or those were my college years, so they didn't count. Or, it was my parents' fault, my spouse's fault, my boss's fault, it was the circumstances. I begin to realize I'm convicted. And the worst is yet to come. We haven't even begun to examine what has been in my heart. The things I've thought, the hidden things, the secret things. And I can't hold my head anymore. I'm supposed to be a Christian. Utter shame and guilt floods my mind, and I fall before the judge because I know what I deserve. And so he remains silent. He stands before Caiaphas, the high priest, accused of blasphemy, and says not a word in his defense. They found him guilty, and according to their law, he ought to die. They spit in his face, they slap him with their hands, and he does not resist. He offers his back in submission, because he knows who this is for. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. The caption is written in blue crayon. Jesus took away your sins. That's why. That's why he came to earth. That's why he endured the shame. That's why he suffered. That's why he died. Because he's determined to stand trial for you. We still haven't heard the judge speak, however. There's really only one person who's going to have the final say, because this courtroom is not on earth. It is not Caiaphas, it's not Pilate. This courtroom is in heaven, and God is going to be the judge. And the future of Jesus and the future of you rest in his hands. Meanwhile, on earth, Pilate's hands are dripping with guilt. Dripping with his excuses, trying to get out of the way, dripping with all of our sins, trying to get out of the way of what's coming to Jesus. For our sins. That's why. That's why he's delivered to death. That's why he's called the King of the Jews. That's why this king will be a servant. Prophesied by Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament, Jesus came to take away our sins. That's why he's found on the cross, and that's why the cross is more than just a place of execution. It's more than just a mistake in judgment. It is the place of God's condemnation, God's wrath against sin, and hell itself has come to the Son of God. He cries out with the words of Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,
Why has God forsaken him?
For our sins. That's why. Never does Jesus question or doubt God. Never does he think this is a mistake, a falsification. And on the cross, he knows God is judging the sins of the whole world, and the final verdict will be said. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To justify is to declare righteous. And God is near, he's at hand, he's on the cross, declaring Jesus righteous and declaring you righteous. Declaring sins fully paid for, so that Paul can write in Romans chapter 8. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is at the right hand of God, who is making intercession for us. The judge has spoken and he has declared the verdict righteous. For Jesus and for you, in his resurrection, you are declared righteous, right in his eyes. And through all this, Jesus learns obedience in a way that none of us can ever imagine. He has done all this that he might teach you what it means to be a disciple. He is the beginning and the end, and he's ready to speak a word to each of you who are weary. The Lord God has given me a word to speak, the tongue of the learned. A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear. It was on Easter morning that Jesus was awakened to speak a word to those who are weak. And it is a season for weariness. Even sitting through this many readings and this many song verses can make us weary. We just don't have the stamina. This is a longer service than we're used to. And how much more when we go out into the world? How much more the abuse of what's out there? And yet Jesus is awakened, and he lives, and he speaks from the cross, from the grave, and in the church. He speaks a word to those who are weary. He says, come, I will give you rest. He says, learn from me. He says, listen to my word and make my word become your own. And so, as disciples, his word becomes our word. We begin to speak the words of this psalm with Christ in us to say, the Lord God will help me. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let him come near. Surely the Lord God will help me. A child's Sunday school craft tells it all. Jesus is pictured hanging from the cross. A Roman centurion looks on. And underneath is the caption in blue crayon, Jesus took away your sins. That's why. Amen.